Shall be till I'm raptured. Because I'm not dying. I've no interest in dying.
Amen.
How many is this not interested in dying?
Amen. That's right.
You know, when you're born again, you can't die.
Amen. Life,
your flesh can go to that
glory.
Grave, but your soul cannot die. Because you're born again of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Getting out of here.
Praise God. Aren't you glad for life tonight?
Amen.
Lord bless you. Shinkong River is beside you this evening. Praise God. And the Lord good.
Amen.
Amen. The Father used to say, I can't go down for going up.
Glory. Amen.
Can't go under for going over.
Right.
You know the them boats, the lifeboats. Do you ever see a lifeboat? You can capsize a lifeboat, but she'll come back up again. That's the way she's made. She'll come back up again.
Glory!
Praise Amen. God. Many afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all.
Glory.
Amen. Praise God this evening. Let's turn to Acts 2, verse 22. And this morning I was praying for Jim, but his name was Tim. So I made a mistake. His name was Tim, but the Lord knows. Praise God. And what was that woman's name, Philip? That woman's name, Amanda. Amanda Traffic. We want to pray for her tonight. She needs a touch from God. And I know others need a touch. Praise God. And Sir Samuel's prayer, the Lord bless your brother Gary this evening. Well, me and Sharon heard the news today. Hannah's got engaged. So that was good, you know. I knew about it, but Sharon didn't know about it. Hannah didn't know about it, but I knew about it. And how I knew about it was the fella come and asked me. You know, I was well pleased with him doing it, because you're living in a day when they don't ask the parents. And you know, you get a fella sneaking around your house looking at your daughter and he's sneaking about. He's never going to be any good a boy like that. Best thing to do is chase him. I'm being honest with you. But the fella that can come up to your face and shake your hand and introduce himself, that's the man.
Amen. Right.
And you know, I remember when my dad was living, one night I was down at our house, and I thought I'd play a trick on my dad. And I says, I'll give our Hannah a real good redding up in front of my dad. And I started to red her up in front of my dad, but he wasn't having any of it. He thought the world of Hannah. And he said to me, what I tell you, boy? You leave that young girl alone, he says. She's as good as two men. And the praise and he gave her Hannah, and every time I tell it, Hannah's face lights up. And he met Nathan, and he liked Nathan. And Hannah thought that was great, you know, and she really misses my dad. She was close with my dad. Who would have thought it? But that's the way God done it. Praise God. And you have a father, and I have a father that we need to be close to. That's the Father in heaven. Earthly fathers might be gone for many of us here this evening, but we'll have a heavenly Father.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's read Acts 2:22. And again tonight I'm not preaching what I plan to preach, but that'll not matter anyhow. Praise God. Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Amen. Let us bow again this evening and praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for these wonderful songs we've been singing to praise you and bless you for your precious blood. We know 5 wounds you bear on Calvary for our deliverance and our healing, because your word says, by your wounds, your stripes, we are healed. And you sent your word and healed them. Lord, I pray for the moving of the Holy Ghost in this service tonight and every single person. And Lord, I pray for that wee man this morning, Tim, and wasn't Jim, but Lord, you know all about him. I'm asking you to touch him. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for this wee woman, Amanda, that's ill, that you'll touch her and give her a good test result. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the miracles you've done. We thank you for Sister Sheila, how you've turned it around, touched her and blessed her. And God, we praise you this evening. We bless you for every good and perfect gift that cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shattering or turning. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost now to help me. And I thank you that you do, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lord, I pray for Brother Gary. Bless him. Anoint him. Give him freedom in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I said, mentioned last week, I'd been preparing on a message, God's Perfect Plan. And I'd advertised it and everything on the Facebook thing. But I didn't feel to bring it tonight. And I'd like to get alone with the Lord and have a real nice time this evening with the Lord and praying and everything. And I want to share this with you tonight. Miracles, signs, and wonders. And we know the supernatural power of God confirmed the ministry of the first century believers. They didn't just go out and preach, but the supernatural power of God was with them and was upon them. And confirmed what they preached and what they said. And another quality of the early Christians that was obliterated during the Dark Ages, that's one of the things that went, was the miracles. The early church, the first church, and the inauguration of the church wasn't in a Bible school, but it was in the upper room. Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. That's where the church began. Amen. And the church began then. It was inaugurated then. And the Spirit was poured out and the miracles followed the church. Signs and wonders. Except for the rare cases during them dark ages, there was hardly anything like what the early church knew. It died out. And it went out. And it didn't regain again its rightful place until the gospel ministry became powerful again in signs and wonders at the turn of the 20th century. God again began to pour out of his Spirit. And we know the book of Joel says it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, he pour a Spirit on all flesh. And God began to pour into the church again the supernatural power of God. And miraculous things began to happen. And people again began to experience the Pentecostal blessing and the Pentecostal power of what our early fathers had. The apostolic ministry began at Pentecost. And thank God it's still available tonight. Amen. And the apostolic ministry cannot cease because the church age is still going. Now I know some people preach the church age is finished. Well, my question to them is why they're still here. If it's finished, we'd be in heaven, if we're the bride. But we're in the last church age, the 7th church age, the Laodicean church age. This is the last church age. This is the age. Laodicea means people's rights. Living in the day when I will do what I want to do on the cheek of it, in your face. How many knows that's the truth? Homosexualities are no longer ashamed of the things they do and the things they show. And it's everywhere. And it's in your face. face. And that's a sign of the last days. You know, without the miraculous vindication of the good news, Christianity cannot be proven to be more than any other religion. And I want to tell you tonight, if you ever get a chance, read or listen to the testimony of T.L. Osborne. And I have so much respect for T.L. Osborne. I really have a respect for that man. And when I read his testimony and listen to things he said he went out to India and he had a black book called the Bible and they had a black book called the Quran. And he said him and his wife come home absolutely defeated. He preached him about being saved and all those things, but he come home defeated. And he says, now you have to understand, I was in a high position in, as far as the church goes. And I didn't want to be seen everywhere. And his wife, Daisy Osborne, said, you need to come to the meeting with me. And William Branham was preaching in that meeting. And he didn't want to go in case somebody seen him. And they would say you're at one of Branham's meetings. But she convinced him to go. And that night he seen the power of God. And he seen a young woman that was blind receive her eyesight. He seen a devil cast out with no effort. And a voice went over his head. And the voice says, you can do it as well. And T.L. Osborne from that night went out and began to preach the gospel in a new way because he closed himself in with the Lord. And he sought the face of God and the Lord Jesus visited T.L. Osborne in the power of the Holy Ghost and baptized him and filled him. And he went back to India and he preached, but when he finished preaching, blinded eyes opened, deaf ears unstopped. The lame got up with their crutches and got out of the wheelchairs and they walked. And he no longer had a black book called the Bible, but he had the living, infallible Word of God that there was power with it. And I tell you, we need not just to have the book, but we need to know the God of the book. And we need to have the experience of this book. And we need to believe in the reality of what this book talks about. And I say it, and I'm going to say it again, if you take the supernatural out of this Bible, you don't have a Bible. Because this Bible is a supernatural book. Amen. And the God we serve is a supernatural God. Absolutely. The life of Jesus was supernatural. The ministry of Jesus was supernatural. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The Bible says that multitudes followed them and he healed every single one of them. And not only did he heal them, he fed them with a boy's lunch. And he took up baskets full of what remains, 12 in one place and 7 in another. The ministry of Jesus is a miracle ministry. And I believe for too long that Christianity's been brainwashed with education. Education that tells them that God's changed, that God doesn't do it like that no more. Amen. And I believe God has a people, and he's going to have a people that's going to believe him for the supernatural power of God. My Bible says those that know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. God's going to have people that's going to do exploits. Exploits for the kingdom of God. That's not going to be afraid to close themselves in with God and wait in the power of God and wait in the anointing of God to move them. And I tell you, we need more praying. We don't need better preachers. We don't need better church buildings. We need better praying and more praying. And I believe the power of the church is a church that prays. And the Bible starts like that in the upper room. They gathered in the upper room and they closed themselves in and began to pray. Hallelujah. And that's where it started. The power of God fell. Yes. And there's only one thing can happen to you and me when we close ourselves in. We're a candidate for the power of God to come. Because God cannot break his word. He says he watches over it in Jeremiah to perform it and to bring it to pass. He keeps an eye on it. God watches over that word. Everywhere that Jesus preached and taught, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did in John 2:23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Jesus was a miracle worker. Now what would give any person a right to change that? Why would Jesus not be there's a source for us to get top into. You know, do you ever see somebody fitting a water pipe? Do you ever hear of topping into the main line? Has anybody ever heard that phrase? The phrase, we need to top into the main line. No point topping into a wee hole somewhere with a wee trickle coming down it. But I'll tell you, if you ever get topped into the main line, you're going to have water and water to spare. If you don't top it in right, you'll have a flood in your hands. And I tell you, there's a source in the power of God we need topped into. And that early church was topped into it. They were topped into the main line. They weren't working with some program. They were working with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
That's why they could come up to the gate called Beautiful at the Hour of Prayer and see a man begging alms, and Peter and John could say, silver and gold have we known, hallelujah. But such as we have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they took him by the hand. They didn't wait, they took him. They took a hold of him, lifted him to his feet. And the Bible says straightway, he leaped with him up into the temple praising God. At the hour of prayer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Always something good's on the agenda at the hour of prayer. But the devil will keep you from the hour of prayer. Keep you from it. He tried to not let Jesus go to the hour of prayer. Did you know that? He tried to kill the Lord before ever he got to that garden. You know they came for him. And the Bible says he slipped through them and got away. For his time wasn't yet. That's the old devil. And even when they came for him in that garden and Peter took a sword out and cut a boy's ear off and the Lord put it back on him again. You don't hear people talk about that, but that's the Bible.
Amen.
That's the reality. He said, put your sword up. He could have fought if he'd have wanted to, but his desire was to go to Jerusalem. Look what Mark said. Look at Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's the secret. To get people set free of oppression, God has to be with you. But when God's with you, they can be set free. How many know the devil oppresses people? He oppresses people till he gets them possessed if he can. And there's a lot of people that's not saved, and they work with things and they work with stuff until they get possessed with it. And that's why you need a deliverance ministry. Amen. You'll not hear that either too much today about a deliverance ministry.
Amen.
I know of a man, and he's went on now, and I went to the meeting, and my father, these men came for him to take him to the meeting, and my dad was backslid. They went to the meeting, and the fellow preached, and there's nothing wrong with what he preached. But he didn't have the Holy Ghost. And my father said, that man will never be delivered or saved until there's a devil cast out of him. And he said, you fellas don't know how to do that because you know nothing about Pentecost. But he said, if he ever gets to the meeting somewhere where somebody's filled with the Holy Ghost and they cast that devil out of him, he can get saved. And they didn't know anything about Pentecost. And not only did they not know anything about Pentecost, the power of the Holy Ghost, they'd been taught for years that it passed away with the last apostle. And now that the Bible's complete, we don't need it. I want to tell you, when you come in contact with a real live devil, you're going to need the Holy Ghost. Education won't cast them out. A nice saying won't throw them out either, but the anointing of God will bring that devil out.
Hallelujah.
And you know Jesus told them, go ye forth, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Mark 16 tells us these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They will speak with new tongues. If they take up a deadly poison, it won't harm them. That's the real gospel. Look what Mark said after Jesus Christ was taken up into heaven following his resurrection. Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. This is after the Lord was took up, and it says the Lord worked with them. Because the Holy Spirit was sent back to the church.
Yes.
In his name.
Amen.
Not in the denominational name, but in his name. The name of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost here tonight.
Yes.
And you read that book of Acts, it says all that Jesus began.
Yes.
must be continued. It, people say it's the Acts of the Apostles, but one more preacher said it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost in them. And I like that. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Apostles. Amen? Taken up into heaven following his resurrection, Mark 16:20. And look what he says in the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. We need God to confirm the word with signs following.
Amen.
You know, T.L. Osborne running around a car after William Branham. And he says, Brother Branham, can I have a ministry like you have? A miracle ministry. And he says, Brother Osborne, don't ever seek after them sort of things. If you preach the true gospel, God will confirm it. Now, the true gospel's not just been saved. That's only part of it. How many knows that in here tonight? The gospel is healing, salvation, the baptism of the Holy Ghost to full works. That's the gospel that the first church preached. And when T.L. Osborne did that, and he come to the end of a service, and I have all the tapes out in India. I couldn't show some of them when we showed them years ago because some of the people was naked in there. They were raw heathens. And they worshipped animals and drank blood and everything. And he went out there and multitudes were saved. And people were healed. Blinded eyes opened and everything. And God confirmed the word he preached. And he just preached the simple truth from the word of God. And now what Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Didn't the Lord himself say to the devil, it's written.
Amen.
He gave him the word. And we need to have the word. Hebrews 2:3-4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it. God also bearing them witness. With both signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. God bore witness to what they preached. Now I had to be honest with everybody in this service. I've never heard a man make the statement that William Branham made. Never. Never heard it. When that man preached and he finished his message, he would pray us a humble prayer. And he would say, Lord, if I've preached the truth, you confirm it. And you know God done it. God done the miraculous. Because he was humble. And I tell you, God can do it again. God can do it again. Because he's no respecter of persons. Amen. And that same man of God said, you pastors can do it. You're called to lay hands on the sick. Elders are called to do it. And all those that believe. Do you believe tonight?
Amen.
If you believe, you can do it. These signs shall follow them that believe. Paul the Apostle also says that God wrought special miracles through his ministry. Look at Romans 15:18-19. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ have not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Iconium, Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel. God confirmed Paul's preaching with miracles. And you know when a certain woman followed him, and she said, this is the great man of God. You know, I tell you what, a lot of people need to watch out today if that went on. Is that the truth? She followed Paul. He's a great man of God. He's a great man of God. Paul turned around and cast the devil out of her.
That's great. That's great.
The Lord wants the glory.
Amen.
How many knows the Bible says that? That was a devil.
That's great.
He's a great man of God. You see, the devil knows who's the men of God are.
Amen.
The demons know as well. First century Christians fully expected that when they witnessed to Christ's resurrection and proclaimed his gospel, God would perform signs and wonders. The early Christians believed it. They expected it. By the power of the Holy Ghost to confirm the message. Over 14 centuries without the miraculous. Do you realize that's what happened? Over 14 centuries without the miraculous. You know, the church went through what's known as the Dark Ages. But we're no longer in the Dark Ages.
Amen.
We're in the time now where we can expect the power of God to move like never before. We're in the time now, the coming of Jesus Christ, where we need the power of God today more than ever. Hallelujah. But as the early church gained in political influence and popularity, they waned in spiritual power. Miracles were no longer considered vital to their ministry. And they're not considered, if you go to Bible school, miracles will never be mentioned. It'll all be about Shakespeare and some other fella that's nothing to do with Christianity. Now I've learned something I'm going to tell you tonight, and you'll not be fit to deny this, but I'm going to tell you. You take two people, and one of them maybe not so well educated, and maybe could make mistakes in reading and everything, but that person's dependent on the Lord. You'll find there's an anointing on them. And when they get up and even they'll make mistakes, God will anoint them, because they're dependent on that anointing. But when you get too smart of yourself, and you can do it too well, you don't need God, so you're not really dependent on God. And that's the problem with a lot of times. But we need the Lord. And I tell you, we need the Lord no matter how good we can read or how good we can spell. And it's good to read and good to spell and good to know all the words. But we still need the Lord's help. Hallelujah. And oh my God, give us the anointing. Hallelujah. There's something about the anointing. You know that this evening. If you go into this Old Testament, there never was a king chosen, but he was anointed. And God sent prophets to anoint kings, and they weren't made king till they were anointed. And God never chose a man that people want to choose. You've only looked at like David and all his other brothers and Joseph and all them different stories. And you know, David and Goliath, and when that prophet went down there and said, "Where's all your sons?" to his father, and he said, "They're all there." And he says, "No. None of them. He got another one. Well, he's only over there watching a few sheep." He never thought it would be him. God said, "That's the one. That's the one I'm wanting." Amen? And the gifts and callings of God are a fact of repentance. Hallelujah. The supernatural is so completely extinguished from public worship and Christian teaching that not many historical churches today believe and teach in the apostles' doctrine. They don't believe it or teach it no more.
Right, amen.
They preach about the days of miracles are past. You say, "Brother Tom, you're really hitting this hard." I have to. Nobody else is.
Amen.
Right. Somebody has to do it.
Amen.
Amen. It is hard to realize that the supernatural signs and physical miracles are largely absent in Christianity for almost 15 centuries. But it was. But in the 20th century, there was a rediscovery. A rediscovery. It was not until around the 20th century that a new awakening concerning the miracle work and power of the Holy Ghost was experienced among Christians in various parts of the world. God began to move. God began to move, and God began to put back into men and women's hearts that He's a supernatural God, and God began to visit people in a supernatural way. And talking in tongues come back in, because it always was there from Pentecost. Is it a real shame that some people don't want it? Let me read you something F.F. Bosworth said. Who's ever heard of F.F. Bosworth?
Amen.
I tell you, he was a mighty man of God. He had as good a ministry as Wigglesworth. Everybody knows Wigglesworth. Not many know Bosworth, but Bosworth was a powerful man of God. He wrote a book called Christ the Healer. And it's sold millions of copies all over the world. Helped so many people. I've got it.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it's a wonderful book. Christ planned to carry on His healing ministry during His absence by means of the whole church. Listen to this. Which is His body. Corinthians tells us that. Not through an obscure member of that body. He said these signs shall follow them.
Amen.
Them. The church, not Him. The individual, it was not the faith of one lone solitary evangelist, but that of the Spirit-filled church as a whole, which brought the healing to all the sick in the streets of Jerusalem after Christ had gone away and had sent His successor, the Holy Ghost. And why was the Holy Spirit sent to continue the work Jesus began?
joiner and you're going to continue my joinery work, and you don't do no joinery, you're not continuing it.
Right.
Are you hearing me tonight? If I'm a bricklayer and you come to continue my bricklaying work and you never lay a block, you're not continuing it. But a lot of people say they're continuing the work, but they're not doing what Jesus done, or they're not doing what the apostles done. But we have to be doing what they done, and we have to believe for what they had, and we have to pray for it and preach it. How do you get people saved? Preach for them to get saved. How do you get people healed? Preach for them to get healed. That's God's plan. He's no other one. That's God's way. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let me read you this evening. Hold with me for a moment. How the first original church was founded and how God manifested himself in her. The word can't change or be added to. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. To change one word of it, as Eve did, brings sin. And Eve changed the word. The serpent lied to her. She doubted what God said, and the word was changed. And that same devil wants the church to doubt and change the word. Are you hearing me? Oh, he's a good man. He doesn't believe it that way. Well, what way does he believe it then? Because there's only one truth. If he's not preaching according to... The Bible says that if they don't preach according to the law and the prophets, there's no light in them. That's the Bible. Thus what the church was at Pentecost is the standard. Hear this evening. That is a pattern. There is no other pattern. No matter what the scholars say, God has not changed his pattern. What God did at Pentecost, he has to keep on doing until the church ages close. Those scholars may tell you the apostolic age is over. Don't believe it. Such a statement is wrong on two counts. First of all, it is wrong to suppose there aren't any more apostles just because the original 12 went on. An apostle means a sent one. And there are many sent ones today, but they're called missionaries. They're apostles. As long as men are being called and sent forth the word of life, there is an apostolic age still going. Do you believe that tonight? Second, they refer to the needs of manifested Holy Ghost power as being over since the Bible has been completed. That's what they teach. This is untrue. There's not even one scripture that suggests that. But many conclusively state otherwise. And there's proof of it from the word of God. And one of them proofs is Acts 2:39. Acts 2:38 is, repent ye therefore every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's eternal life. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that is afar off. Well, you and me are far off, absolutely.
Amen.
Even till as many as the Lord our God shall call. Did God call you? He had to, or you couldn't have come. That's who the promise of the Holy Spirit's to. The promise of the Holy Spirit is to them that's afar off. We were far off, but God called us, and therefore we are under the promise of the Holy Ghost. And didn't Jesus say, if you believe and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? If you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone. The New Testament ministry in the testament of the gospel that Jesus told his followers to proclaim to the world. Let's look at it just for a few moments this evening. I'm going to close on about 5 minutes. I tell you, when you go to this Bible, it doesn't work. It's the same with message groups today. They're not preaching what the messenger preached. They're not. I'm sorry, they're not preaching it. What they're saying and what he says is two different things. They preach the man, but not Christ. We must preach Christ. He is the man. Did you hear that statement? He is the man. Not only is he the man, but Pilate says, behold the man. And the other Pharisee says, never man speak like this man. He's a special one. He's the one we're to preach. Acts 1, verse 1 to 2, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, and all that Jesus both began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments on the apostles whom he had chosen. Through the Holy Ghost. If the Lord needed the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit. You say the Lord needed the Holy Spirit? Yes. John said he saw the Spirit coming on him like a dove and remaining upon him. And he knew on the one who you see the Spirit coming on and remaining upon, this is the one that will take away the sins of the world. John knew. He saw it coming on him. And I tell you, we need the same Holy Spirit he had. The Bible says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Somebody said, I'm going through a wilderness. Well, Jesus was led into the wilderness. So the fact that somebody's in the wilderness, it could be God's will. Because Jesus was led into the wilderness. It was God's will to lead him there, or else he wouldn't have led him. How many believe that tonight? The Bible says it was. You have to understand one thing when you preach about Christ. He was never out of the will of God. Not even once. And I don't care what these American preachers talk about Jesus going to hell to save himself. They're false prophets. They're labeled. That finishes me with them straight away. He never had to save himself. He had no sin. He took your sin. He took my sin. He took your place and my place. The only fact was he laid his life down a ransom for many. He took your sin and my sin. Death had no claim on him. Death had a claim on every single man and woman that was born in sin, sheep and in iniquity. Death had a claim on everyone. But death had no claim on Jesus Christ, because he's a sinless, perfect Lamb of God. No claim on him. But he willingly stepped into death because he took your place and my place. His sins didn't send him down to the underworld. It was ours. He had none of his own. And for a preacher to get into a pulpit and say that Jesus had to be born again, I'm the one who gets started on in the night. It's not even worth the time of it. You don't know half the world's following stuff today. It's out with the furries. There's no Bible even for it, and they're following it. But we're going to follow the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. Acts 2:39, which I have already quoted. For the promises unto you and to your children, and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. 1 Timothy 1, verse 11 and verse 15, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, whom I am the chief. That's why he came, to save. Colossians 1, 20 to 23. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him, to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which we have preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. Made a minister. Now you know one thing he says here, the faith. He doesn't say the faiths. Sadly, we have a king in England, he believes in the faiths, but he's on his own in that one. Because there's not the faiths, there's the faith. That's the same thing when a fella meets you and he says, well, we have to believe in our God. Sorry, I'm not believing in our God, I'm believing in the one true God. Not our God. I'm believing in Almighty God. He is the one true God, Father of us all. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 1, 17-18, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made a none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Aren't you glad for the power of God? I'm going to come to close this evening. You glad for the power of God tonight? The power of God saves. The power of God delivers. Sets people free. I tell you, if you don't believe in the do eviler, he's about. What he does when you hear the truth, he'll come and he'll try and take that out of your mind. But do good to you as well. Amen. How many knows who's the stronger?
Amen.
Do good. Jesus Christ is stronger than Satan and sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand our feet this evening and praise God. And our brother Samuel's going to come in a moment. Praise God. Well, every head's bowed, every eye closed. God bless each one. If anyone wants prayer this evening, when every head's bowed, every eye closed, just lift your hand up high. I'm going to pray for you tonight. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. I want you to believe the Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight that your word is truth. Lord, we have tried to preach what we believe to be the truth from the Word of God. And we're asking you this evening that you will stretch your arm forth with signs and wonders and divers miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Confirm thy own word with the miraculous, we pray. We know you are a miracle-working God. Lord, we bless you tonight that you've never changed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord that never changes. Lord, you said, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
Father, I pray for every hand that's raised in this room.
Amen.
You will meet that need in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Move in every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Lord, I pray the conviction power of the Holy Ghost will be on this meeting. Lord, it'll even go on this recording. Let your power go with your word, for your word is power. When these disciples preached, Lord, you moved. And I pray that you'll give us the faith we need. Help us to believe you to move. Help us to believe you for the miraculous. Bring us deeper. Empty us, then fill us. Oh God, move upon us, I pray. Lord, give us the former rain and the latter rain. Ripen us to be that men and women of God. Bring us into that full manifestation of the sons of God. For Lord, the sons of God moan and groan for the manifestation of the sons of God. Lord, let there be a spiritual moaning and groaning to bring us to that place. We bless you tonight. Bless everyone in this room. Bless our brother Samuel that comes. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. And God bless your brother Samuel as he comes. Next Sunday morning, brother John's going to be preaching. Pray for the service. That's the 20th. And then on the 27th, I'll be away. Brother Samuel's going to preach the 27th. I might be back for the evening, but maybe Mark will do the evening on the 27th as well. Samuel does the morning, and Mark does the evening. Case, I think he'll be back, but I'll get the youth brothers can step in and pray for all these meetings. And don't forget our prayer and Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7:30. Come along if you can. And pray. Pray for your children. That's the chance to do it. And ask God to move on them. And hear the word of God. Study it and write it down. Meditate on it. For it's marrow in your bones, strength in your navel. Isn't that the word of God says? Praise God. God bless you all. God bless you.
I was thinking there, and Tommy was saying about the do evil and do good. What about the old Indian chief one time? He got saved. And he said to him, he said, "How you doing, chief?" He says, "Pretty good and pretty bad." He says, "What do you mean, pretty good and pretty bad?" He says, "Two dogs in them, a black dog and a white dog." He says, "Well, which one's winning?" He said, "The one I feed the most." So it depends tonight what you're running on. What are you fueling yourself with? See, this world will fuel you with unbelief. It'll fuel you with God can't do. The days of miracles is over. It depends what you're feeding on. And that'll give you the different outcome. It's like if you had a car and you put a load of dirty diesel in her, you'll not expect her to go too far, do too much. The next thing you'll have to get out and change the filter. Then you'll have to clean the tank out. When you get the system cleaned out and get the fresh fuel in, she'll go better. It's the same thing with the Word of God, isn't it? When you feed them the right thing. We'll tell you this here tonight. I don't know why I've ever sang this or not. Well, probably we have sang it. It's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's number 532 in the Redemption Hymn Book. And you know, this is a great song, isn't it? It's written by a man called Joseph Scriven. And he lived not too far from here, just near Bond Bridge. And there used to be a wee plaque on the wall where he lived. And he moved to a place called Hope Harbour. I think it was he called that he moved to. You know, when he lost, he was engaged twice. And both his fiancées were killed or died through some... One of them, I think, was killed off a horse down along the bank of the Bond. And the other one, I think, died with TB or something and it was ours. It could have been Canada or something he moved to, I think. I can't remember for sure. But you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. He was inspired. Even in the face of diversity, he was inspired to write something. You know, like that other man that wrote, It Is Well With My Soul. He was inspired too when he lost his whole family. And he wrote a message, or he wrote a song down. It Is Well With My Soul. The last time I sing this tonight, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Amen.